To Psalm 89, Psalm chapter 89. While you're turning there, let me thank Brother Dan Gordon and the church here for the trust in inviting me. No doubt as I look about the congregation, there are more able men, even here this morning, that could stand and proclaim the Word of God. And I'm humbled at the invite to come to be a part of the conference. Thank you for the room at the motel that's been provided for us, for the wonderful hospitality, the food that's been provided, the fellowship, and the faithful men of God that have spent time laboring over His Word to preach to us the Word of God. I've truly been blessed. David, the young man that just played on the piano, stopped in my office at the church, I suppose about 3-4 months ago, and asked me, he said, "Brother Sean, could I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." I thought he came in to just unwind, get to know me a little better, and he said, he talked for just a few minutes. He said, "I'd like to ask for the hand of your daughter," to which I consented, and I'm waiting for him to ask for the rest of her. I'm sure that time will come. If the Lord's in it, they'll be united in marriage on August the 28th. And so we thank the Lord for that. He's become a good friend to me. He's a sportsman, good racquetball player, and I like to play racquetball. He's a good bowler. I don't know that I'll be able to hold him at that. He likes to golf, and I like to golf, and he gives me a challenge at that. Maybe one day, if I keep at it before I get too old, I'll be able to beat him at something. But he's a good friend, and I thank the Lord for David, for his mother, and his dad, Justin, the way in which the Lord has worked in their lives as well. Brother Jerry Asbury had mentioned in his message that I am a theologian. Most of what I've heard at this conference is true, but that I have to stand before you and confess that though I am in part a theologian, I'm not a very learned one. God's still working on me and developing me in the Scriptures, and the more I study, the more I find out just how little I know and how great our God is. Before I get started this morning, I've got 15 extra minutes this year than I had last year, and I thank your pastor for that. Wednesday morning is a tough spot to fill for 30 minutes, especially when you have the gift to gab. But let me just mention something to the people this morning. There has been much that have been said during this conference regarding what we have to look forward to, and Lord willing, this morning I'll get on that card as well. But in my studies here just a few weeks ago, I thought about time. The Bible says a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as unto a day. Beloved, I'm not going to set dates this morning, but I want you to realize something. We are on, I believe, the very threshold of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why I say that. I believe the 6 days that God created the heavens and the earth and all that was therein is 6 literal 24-hour days. Amen. And I believe that seventh day as a day of rest points toward the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, it would appear to me that this earth is close to 6,000 years of age. Not billions and billions, not millions of millions, not hundreds of thousands, but 6,000 years. Amen. If you have a Scofield's reference Bible, I use a Thompson's Chain, King James Bible, but if you have a Scofield Bible, in the book of Genesis, at the very start, it will say 4004 B.C. That's the estimated time before the birth of Christ. We are now in the year 2010. The Jewish calendar is a 360-day calendar. Our calendar is a 365-day calendar. And so if you take those 5 days over 2,000 years, that comes to 10,000 days. Divided by 365, that is roughly 28 years. So we would have to subtract that from 2010, which takes us to the year 1900 1982. You add 1,982 years to 4,004 years, and you come to 5,986 years. Add the seven-year tribulation period, which precedes the time of rest, that millennial reign of Christ, and that takes us to 5,993 years. Beloved, I'm not setting dates, but I believe within the next 5 to 10 years, I believe in the imminent return of Christ. These dates might be off. He may return today, and I'm looking for His appearing today. But beloved, if there's any significance to numerical things in the Bible, I believe that we are very, very close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You look at what's being propagated through Washington, D.C. and our government. And right now, homosexuals are knocking at the door for the privilege, so they think, to openly portray their alternate lifestyle, an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I give that to you just, it's not part of the message. I just wanted to mention to you, beloved, as Brother Clyde said, it's high time. High time for us to awake out of sleep. Amen. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Psalm chapter 89. If you have that place in your Bibles, would you stand this morning as we read publicly from the Word of God? Psalm chapter 89, I'll read two verses. Verse number 15 and verse number 16. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Amen. I would like, with my Lord's help through the Holy Spirit in our midst, to develop our present thought and subsequent meditation around verse number 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Would you bow with me, please, as we pray? Dear Father in heaven, we are gathered together in thy midst. What a wonderful privilege we have to assemble ourselves together to meet with thee. And now, Father, I come before thee asking for thy help. We have opened before us a sacred book, thy very word. And God, I pray that it will speak to us this morning. Thank thee for this church. Thank thee for the saints that are gathered together here. Thank thee for the confidence that we have where two or three are gathered together in thy name. Thou art in our midst. And Father, may it please thee by thy Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this day. For we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. For the title of my message, I have emplaced upon it, Melody to the Soul. Melody to the Soul. So often today, prosperity in worldly possessions is the benchmark by which one is determined blessed in this life. Yet biblically, we are directed to not look on the outward appearance or on worldly positions and possessions to diagnose and determine if one is truly blessed. The Bible states if a man gained the whole world at the expense of his soul, if he could possess it all, and thus in the end lose his soul, he has prospered absolutely nothing. Amen. Brother Jeff Short touched on that last night. Certainly, this then is not a condition an intelligent, rational person would deem blessed. Many churches today erroneously conclude that they are blessed because they have an exquisite building to present to their community, because of various amenities that are offered to the public, because of a sizable congregation or possibly a large cash flow, even though to obtain most of these, pride and compromise must exist. The goal of the lost world today is growth in every regard and at all cost. And yet the growth that really counts is neglected. Numerical growth ought never to drive God's people. Spiritual growth ought to be what drives us to worship and serve our Creator, because we want to grow closer to our Lord. Yet so many people are striving to be on top, to have the largest congregation, to have the greatest amount of money sent to missions. Beloved, there's nothing wrong with those things if they're done in the right spirit. But numbers ought not to drive us. God has always preferred to do much with little. And in so doing, He receives all the glory and the praise. I'm reminded of Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 7. Gideon has been called upon to go against the Midianites. 32,000 warriors have gathered together behind their leader. And yet God gives a report to Gideon that I'm sure he didn't want to hear. And the report was, there's entirely too many men for this victory to be given to you. He said in verse number 2, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. And you know, in the end, it was Gideon and 300, not 32,000. The Bible in Psalm chapter 127 says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Beloved, let me say this morning that spiritual growth cannot and will not occur where there is no spiritual life. We are born dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. The wages of sin exist on the soul at birth and over time. As we heard yesterday, it exacts its toll on the physical body as well. Man can no more choose salvation of his own accord than a dead corpse can choose what to wear the day after it's planted in the ground. And therefore, for one to turn to Christ, God must intervene and impart spiritual life and give to us a nature which desires and pants after God. Oh, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. What a blessing then when one is humbly brought by the Spirit of Almighty God to realize their utter hopelessness and despair, being plagued by sin, and through hearing the gospel, see in Christ their only hope of salvation. As I thought about this verse in Psalm chapter 89, where the psalmist says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Four possibilities, I believe, exist regarding sound. First of all, a sound can be unheard. Many of the ladies here in the congregation will be very familiar with this. For when your husband sits in front of the one-eyed monster and watches a major television show or a baseball game or football game, you can go into the room and you can talk to him, but trust me, he will not hear you. He's not ignoring you, ladies. Men just simply do not hear when they're absolved in a major event like that. And ladies probably know that all too well. Sounds certainly can be unheard. Secondly, sounds can be heard superficially and thus quickly forgotten. Our brother James says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Amen. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The gospel is heralded forth from Baptist pulpits like this one, though generally unheeded, because sadly, by and large, it's heard superficially. The Bible declares these types of worshipers as those that render service with their lips, but their heart is far from God. Thirdly, I believe that one can hear so often that the sound is ignored or disregarded. This church sits right next to a major highway. And for me, that's foreign. We have a country church building in Clarksville, Tennessee. Not much traffic goes by the church building. But I notice when I'm in places in the city where traffic is quite abundant, Now, you that stay here in Mount Morris, Michigan, or in Clio, I used to say Clio until I was corrected on Tuesday, you may not notice that so much. When I was growing up, I lived, my mother and father had a house that was right by a set of railroad tracks. My dad was going to Bible college, and as the associate pastor of the church, he would invite people to come over to the house. That train would go by and the windows would rumble, but it got to the point that it didn't bother me. I didn't really hear the train because there was a frequency by which it passed, but the visitors at the house could sure hear it. I don't know if you've ever lived by an airport. I stayed in Italy, and Aviano Air Base was not too awful far away, and the big jets would fly over. It got to the point that I didn't notice them. You know, at first it was interesting to watch those big jets fly over so quickly. But then it just became commonplace. Our home in Clarksville is right underneath the fly zone of the helicopters from Fort Campbell. I don't pay it much attention. Birds and frogs begin to sound off their rejoicing. The birds chirp this time of the year. The frogs bellow, but we are too familiar to take notice of them. The psalmist doesn't say, "Blessed are they that hear the joyful sound." My friend, it is a wonderful privilege for you and I to be able to hear the joyful sound. But the blessing that the psalmist deems exceedingly great rests not upon those that simply hear the joyful sound. And what a joy it is to hear it proclaimed. No, sir, this blessing rests upon those that know the joyful sound. This is the consummate state of a loving listener. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 119, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Paul recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, writing to young Timothy, desirous of him to come quickly unto him, said, "Bring me my cloak, bring me my books. But especially, bring me the parchments." Oh, the joyful sound of Scripture. For it is the very breath of God. More to be desired is it than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by it is thy servant warned. And in keeping of it, there is great reward. You know, many times when on a military installation, bugle calls are still played. Visiting family members may wander aimlessly, even though they hear the music. But it is the seasoned, disciplined soldier that stops in his tracks to render respect to a fallen comrade because of the sound that he hears. Amen. It's the seasoned, disciplined soldier that moves smartly from his workplace to the dining facility because of the music that he hears. It's the seasoned, disciplined soldier that retires for the night when taps are played because he knows the sound. It has a different effect on a soldier who's seasoned and disciplined than it just has on one who visits a military installation. And in like manner, beloved, the child of God effectually knows the joyful sound. And knowing it is always for our learning and development, he loves everything related to it. His commands are not grievous. Amen. Not for those of us that love the joyful sound. Right. No, here in the Hebrew is yada. It means to know. It means to ascertain by seeing. It means to comprehend. It means to respect. It means to discern and regard. One condition of seeing is to recognize our position in contrast to God's law. Sovereign grace brings us to this point. Aristotle, defining grace, lays the whole stress on this point, that it is conferred freely with no expectation of return, and finding its sole motive in the bounty and free-heartedness of the giver. Oh, the grace of God that's so freely manifested on you and I as his children. that we can know the joyful sound. There are three things that I want to address from our text in Psalm chapter 89. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. First of all, this sound is particular only to those who have been adopted into God's family and only to those adopted who hear. Secondly, this particular sound is peculiar from all other sounds, for it is a joyful sound. And then last, this particular sound produces an immediate and God-centered response from those who know it. My friend, you can't know this joyful sound and be complacent in the work of the Lord. You can't know this joyful sound and desire nothing more than just to come and fellowship with God's people. It's more than that. That's a beautiful part of it. But knowing this joyful sound exhibits other things from us. This world will never be able to render joyful sounds. One of the brethren told me this morning that President Obama will be in Washington today at Wall Street to usher in financial reform. My friend, that might be joyful sound to investors, but it does nothing for me. As long as this nation turns its back to God, it will never, listen to me, it will never be financially successful. We are placing our finances in holes in bags with holes. And I believe two of the biggest holes that have been used thus far are Iraq and Afghanistan. And I speak from experience concerning Iraq. First of all, this particular sound is only known to those who have been adopted into the family of God. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. How thankful you and I should be this morning if we know the joyful sound. Verse number 42 of John chapter 8, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Look further in verse number 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. In order to know the joyful sound, you must hear the joyful sound. Beloved, there are multitudes amongst us that don't know the joyful sound. They don't rejoice over this blessed book. They don't rejoice of what's contained in it, of the promises that it holds. They don't rejoice over the privilege that we have. And certainly it is such a privilege to assemble together in the presence of other saints. I thought about what Brother Jeff Lawrence said in his prayer to Almighty God in our midst. How thankful he was for the privilege that he has at this conference. Something that he has not enjoyed for the better part of 8 years. Oh, what a joy to know the joyful sound. Not only is this particular sound only known by those who have been adopted in the family of God, but beloved, it is known by those who are awake to hear it. Amen. Brother Clyde Hancock preached from Romans chapter 13, verse number 11, regarding that. It's time for us to awake out of sleep. There's so much inactivity in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We think we're doing so much and we're doing so little. And it doesn't seem to bother many. Why? Because most are asleep. The Bible says it's time to wake up. Wake up and get busy on what God has commissioned us to do. As I said, beloved, our time's running out. I'm not going to set a date, but I think it's close. Oh, then in order for us to hear and to know the joyful sound, we must be awake as God's people. Secondly, this particular sound is peculiar from all others, for it is a joyful sound. Most, if not all, sound heard today in the world is absolutely heart-wrenching. You turn on the television. We were sitting this morning at breakfast in the motel, and they have the TV already set to a news channel. You know what I heard? This man is being tried today for murder. This man is being tried today for rape. This man is being tried today for murder. And it just over and over and over again, that's the news. That's what fills the news. Suicide, murder, divorce, economic woes, worldwide turmoil, financial instability, what they call natural disasters. God's in control of all of these things. But my friend, it's not good news. I saw just yesterday that it is estimated by the year 2014 that Iran will possess a nuclear weapon that has the capability to reach the United States. I don't know how they determine that and go out in the future and say on this year they'll have this. But my friend, listen. If you are relying on the news that the world gives to be joyful to your soul as a child of God, I'll save you the heartache and heartbreak. The only good news that I know of that we as God's children are privy to today is what we have recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Oh, how love I thy law, the psalmist said. Amidst these numerous sounds that are heard in the world today, there is one that the ear of grace identifies with and embraces. This joyful sound is then, I believe, the proclamation and application of Holy Writ made understandable and effectual upon us by the Spirit of God, which reveals to us the great love of God for us. We are compelled to love Him because He first loved us. Amen. The Spirit leads and guides into all truth, and truth is always joyful to the saint. This, then, I believe, is the joyful sound of redemption. The Bible says in the book of Romans, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Death has reigned nigh unto 6,000 years and one blessed day. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. In accordance with Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. And as we've already heard, our Lord holds the keys to death and hell. One's only hope would rest in a deliverer for mankind, but afflicted by sin, man could not deliver himself. And so there's a joyful sound in redemption. There's also a joyful sound that is known in our Redeemer. Since man was created and willfully violated the law of God, sin entered into the world, and man found himself in need of a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ was that Redeemer. God's voice was heard walking in the garden, and even though Adam and Eve had made themselves a covering of fig leaves, yet the Bible says the voice of God was heard in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves. And before God left their presence, an animal was slain. A blood sacrifice was made, and they were covered with coats of skin. God Almighty pointed towards a Redeemer. Abraham, as we heard about in Genesis chapter 22, was commanded to take his son, his only son, Isaac. You think about that. There was another that was born before Isaac. I'll not get into that, but he was commanded to take his son, his only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. We heard about that as well. Almighty God was pointing towards a Redeemer.
Amen.
John chapter 8, verse number 56, the Bible says, Abraham rejoiced. He saw my day and rejoiced. Job in the Old Testament said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He by faith looked forward to a Redeemer. Isaiah paints a graphic picture of our suffering Savior in the 53rd division of the book that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit he wrote. Isaiah was convinced of a Redeemer. Jonah found himself swallowed by a whale. 3 days and three nights was in the belly of that whale. The only sign that sign seekers would be given of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what he said? Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Jonah looked forward to a Redeemer. Yes, Habakkuk declares hope in his Redeemer to deliver Judah from the control and influence of wicked Babylon. Malachi, as Brother Jerry Asbury brought out, the last of the prophets around 440 B.C., declared in chapter 4 and verse 2 that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. Amen. That prophet looked forward to a Redeemer. Amen. Oh, what a joyful sound these patriarchs of the Old Testament embraced and were convinced of, because they knew it and believed it by faith. The hundreds of thousands of blood sacrifices could only temporarily satisfy the justice of God. Hebrews chapter 10 states it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Oh, what a joyful sound there. What a joyful sound to the shepherds and to you as, and I as the sheep of God. Recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, a Redeemer has finally come on the scene. Oh, what a joyful sound. Man needs redemption and a Redeemer has come, for he cannot redeem himself. This joyful sound points towards regeneration and repentance. Look in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse number 4. Jesus said, which man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Oh, my friend, what a joy it is to know the joyful sound. Amen, brother. Of regeneration and repentance. I don't know that anything would thrill my heart more, aside from the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, than to see some lost soul, and no doubt there's some this morning that don't know the joyful sound, to see one lost soul touched by the hand of God. Amen. And drawn by his wondrous and marvelous love to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ during this conference. Yes. My friends, you can know the joyful sound. It's also a joyful sound of reassurance and reproof found only in the Word of God. Brother Kenneth Long preached about that. What a joy it is for these two that were walking on the road to Emmaus to have the Scriptures open to them and their hearts comforted. And I know of nothing that comforts the hearts of God's people like this blessed book. Amen. Oh, my friend, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound of reassurance and reproof that are found in the Word of God. The Bible says all these things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. All Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This also is a joyful sound of the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I agree with Joe Collins. I enjoy thinking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's how we comfort those who have had loved ones pass from this life, who die in Christ. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. I believe it's a joyful sound of the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortality shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What a joyful sound.
Amen.
I'll not elaborate on that. Brother Jeff Short did a wonderful job of that already. Oh, what a joyful sound when death is swallowed up in victory. And then, my friend, we know the joyful sound of rejoicing saints. Something that will endure for all eternity. Revelation chapter 5. Listen to what the Bible says. And I wept much because no man, verse number 4, was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Oh, what a state of despair. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. What a joyful sound. Verse number 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Amen.
And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. What a joyful sound. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
Amen.
Oh, what a joyful sound.
Amen.
Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound.
Amen.
Lastly, this particular sound produces an immediate and God-centered response from all of those that know it. This joyful sound has as its substance the Almighty. For our estate is settled in his countenance, in his name, and in his righteousness. Therefore, beloved, it is a sound that produces an immediate and God-centered response from those that know it. Notice in Psalm chapter 89, as we close, that the affectionate hearer, the hearer that knows the joyful sound, the hearer that embraces the joyful sound, the hearer that loves the joyful sound, he walks. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They don't walk alone. They don't walk aimlessly. They walk with a purpose. The steps of a good man, the Bible says, are ordered of the Lord.
Yes.
That's wonderful to think about.
Amen.
That our steps are ordered of God.
Right.
Blessed is the man, Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Amen.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither.
Amen.
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
Oh, beloved, the affectionate hearer walks. The affectionate hearer rejoices. Verse number 16. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. They rejoice in the Lord always. Sound familiar? Let me say it again. And again I say, rejoice. There ought to never be an occasion in the life of a child of God when he cannot rejoice, when he's walking in harmony with God, for God is our protector and our provider. We are more than conquerors.
Yeah.
Beloved, we're just not victors. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
And then for the sake of time, the latter part of verse number 16. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. That word exalted means to lift up. It means to be promoted. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you.
Amen.
In due time.
Amen.
The way to be something in the army of God is to get low.
That's right.
That's a hard concept for us to grasp in the flesh. The flesh doesn't like that. But God's policy is, if you want to be great, get small. Learn to be nothing. And it may please him to make something out of you. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. This particular sound points an individual to Christ, provokes one to action, and prevails in victory. For it produces joy now and for all eternity. John chapter 10 and verse 14, our Lord and Savior said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Do you know the joyful sound this morning? If so, it is melody to your soul. For it is more blessed than anything I know of.
Amen.
Only three things I know in this room this morning that will exist for all eternity. Only three things. That's the Spirit of God, who is in our midst this day. It's your soul, my dear friend, as a listener. And it's the sword of the Lord, the word of God. Only those three things that I know are eternal. What's the condition of your soul this morning? Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound.
Amen.